Amen. So since I get to share because I have a microphone attached to my head, dad jokes, here's something I want to share with you that's been happening in my life, and not happening, but this is something I've been doing, which is I'd like to even just share this. I've been reading the book of Proverbs on a really religious basis. I read the Bible a lot, but it's one thing. I've been reading the book of Proverbs in the Passion Translation, which is really fun for me. Although the other day I woke up early and popped it open and was reading it, and I was in the part of the book of Proverbs where it's referring to the young man who don't chase after the adulteress, the harlot, and Robin happened to pop her eyes open and look over and glance at what I was reading. And she started reading a couple lines and said, "What the heck are you reading?" I'm like, "Proverbs," because it looks like a romance novel. I'm like, as you're reading it. So that's what the Passion Translation does. It does word it a little bit differently. But here's the verse. I'm going to share this verse. So as I share a dad joke, I'm going to just share a proverb that has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about today. It's just a proverb that I highlighted as like, oh, I like that one. And it's Proverbs 18:12, and it says this: "A man's heart is the proudest when his downfall is nearest, for he won't see glory until the Lord sees humility." That's good stuff. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to get into this conversation about the fire of the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a lot of fun, right? You guys with me? A little fired up, or just kind of like, okay, let's see, let's settle down, let's just have a kindling fire, right? A nice little, So I want to get burned up by God. If I don't know if that's if I could say that, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm not sure if that what that. I'm figuring this out as we go. You guys with me? This is really good stuff. And the stuff that Blake's bringing on Tuesday night, is Blake in the room still? No, he's teaching today. The stuff that Blake's bringing on Tuesday night, talking about the doctrine, the theology of the Holy Spirit, is just fantastic. I really strongly encourage you to get here on the Tuesday nights. It's only for an hour, 6 to 7. It's really good stuff. So I broke this down into a couple of things, and even talking about the Godhead, the Trinity, because we started this whole discussion months ago, and that's where we started with was kind of giving us, I believe, a as clear, maybe even a, we aim to understand and know what the Trinity is. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Amen? And we talked about it. There's a couple of messages. If you go back on our podcast, you can find them. I thought they were pretty good. But in God the Father, we receive His love. In God the Son, we receive His life. In God the Holy Spirit, we receive His power. And the power of the Holy Spirit is really encased in fire. Fire is power. Fire brings power. It still is to this day one of the... We call it what do we call it when we have something, an act of God, when we have a fire that takes place and it consumes an area. We've experienced some really close to this area. I'm still very thankful, and I do this. I've thanked God that our little area of Placer County in this Lincoln area has not experienced a disastrous fire. I'm not going to go knock on wood. No, that's not. I thank God that He has not allowed a disastrous fire to take place in this area. It's really quite remarkable to me when we really think about it. Because how many people, and people just do people things, right? And we make fires. Right? Ethan here, by the way, if anybody know Ethan, stand up, Ethan, for a second. Ethan's been a part of our fellowship and a part of our body for a little bit, and it's been fun to, he actually is a tree guy. I don't know, not a tree hugger. He cuts them down. You might hug a tree before you cut it down and say, hey, good riddance. I don't know. An arborist, is that? He's a timber faller. See, that's even like, to me, that's a whole nother level of like, dude, like, get out of the way. Or like, excuse me, sir, you may come through. Like, yeah, you guys are the real deal, legit dudes, man. Anyway, maybe just because I just think it's pretty cool. Anyway, so back to the script, right? Do I have one? No, I don't. Amen, squirrel. Yes. The fire. I love you guys. I really do. I just, you know, as I share what the Lord wants me to share and speak as the Lord wants me to speak, you guys know that my prayer is more about, less about me speaking what God wants me to speak, but that we as a people, we hear what God wants us to hear. And I think when we're in that comfortable state of like, I'm listening, and yes, I come at us a little bit differently than Stephen or Adam, or in a couple weeks, I invited a good friend of mine, Mike Bradrick, who's a retired pastor at Lincoln Community Church. He's going to come and speak, and he's a good old-fashioned Baptist preacher, man. And he's a little more polished than I, way more polished than I. I think you're going to really enjoy it. But I believe that God speaks through different people because that's what we need. We need the body of Christ at large. Amen? Amen. The fire of the Holy Spirit does three things, I believe, in the believer's life. Empowerment brings us power, brings illumination, and brings purification. The fire of the Holy Spirit does this in a believer's life. Now, is he bringing a non-believer to that same place? Remember, God the Holy Spirit is about making Jesus known. So even in my life as a believer, I'm still walking the walk of faith and knowing Jesus, learning to love Jesus, learning to follow Jesus. God the Holy Spirit is doing that. But before I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, God the Holy Spirit was doing that same work inside of me, bringing revelation on a regular basis from the time I was a child to the time that I actually saw Jesus face to face. And I met Jesus personally by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was engaging in that work of making Jesus known in my life. He's doing that in every soul's life. Whew, that's powerful stuff. I want us to know, man, that's not even in my notes. That's a total freebie. God, the Holy Spirit is about making Jesus known. Amen? Come on, that's good stuff. Oh, hey, baby. Oh, yeah. I just realized that there's another baby in the room. Excellent. So let me go through these three aspects of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Empowerment. And I got some scripture to for us to discuss, talk about. And it's going to actually bring about that truth. God, the Holy Spirit, empowers the believer. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. It's about 5 verses through 19. This is Paul speaking, and he says this: for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. In other words, I pray, and I come before God, the throne room, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, in your inner being. In your inner being. Just, you hear what he's saying here? This is fantastic stuff. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That we get by the power and the working of this Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, that is like just like, wow. Wow. Like, if we got to hear this and say, wow, that's what it's about. Amen? I love that because it's talking about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we may know God. Not just who God is or about God, but know within our knower God inside of us. The fullness of God. Do you hear that offer that is being made to us? We can know the fullness of God. That just blows my mind. Because God is so transcendent and yet so personal, so above but so within, so far out but yet so close. That's awesome. Think about that. And he does that as the Holy Spirit. And here's a verse, another verse that I'd like us to hit on, because it's a verse in the Bible. It's one of these verses that God the Holy Spirit took in my young life as a believer and ignited. I don't know if that's what when I say that, I mean, the ignition that took place was like a fire burning within inside of me that actually took this verse, took me and transformed me. And actually, it took me and made me something different. Hello? No, I know you know what I'm talking about. If you've experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, I'd like to encourage you to give it a go. Like, let the Holy Spirit ignite the Word of God inside of you and take that Word and make you into that Word and transform you into what that Word is speaking. Hello? Jay, hear what I just said? That was really good stuff. I couldn't repeat it, so hopefully you heard it. 2 Timothy 1:7, and Robin, she even knows, like, that's one of my favorite verses. She'll actually attest to, yeah, that's one of his favorite verses. It says this: for God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline or sound mind. Do you hear what he's saying here? Did you hear the key word in all of that? What's the key word that somebody heard? Okay, that's good, but that's not it. Spirit. Spirit. We think that fear is, or we think that love, but it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In fact, that wording there that Paul actually uses in the Aramaic when it's speaking, it actually uses the word Holy Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit that is not holy, which invokes fear, timidity and fear. They go hand in hand. They are the same meaning. Like when I'm, and that's how I grew up, as a timid, shy, insecure young man. Couldn't look at you in the face when I talked to you because I was just so insecure and so timid because of the abuse that took place in my home as a young man. So those things, the depths and the dark depths that goes into my soul, God is saying, that's not me. That's not of me. That which you are known to be like, that's not me. That's not my spirit. My spirit has power, has love, and has a sound mind. I can stand up here and speak to you only because of the Holy Spirit's work in my life that's given me a sound mind. Because my brain on my own ain't that great. It's a mess up there. That wasn't one of my dad jokes. I was being genuine. But it's true. So here's where it is God's power is just that. God's. It's His power. His power flowing through your life is for His purpose, His glory, His attention, His mission, bringing His kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, to ultimately bring it back to heaven. That's so cool. His power has intention. His power in you is to make him known. I love this. When the church first started in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, this is at the end of chapter 4, verse 33, it says this, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." You hear that? You see, his power has a mission behind it, which is to grow his kingdom here on earth. Hello? That's so there's a mission behind his power being displayed through you. Amen? I'm going to say something, and there's some things I believe that you might hear this morning that might offend you. That's just a little warning. This might be one of them, but I don't think it is. His power is not for your validation. His power is not for your validation. Think about it for a second. His power has the ability to be known and made known through a donkey. Hello? Just for perspective's sakes, just so that we know that he can work in and through anything that he so chooses. Ooh, that's good stuff. We'll talk more about this thing called strange fire in a minute. So his power does three things, I said. Empowerment, illumination. Illumination in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. I'm going to read this. This is, again, a passage out of Ephesians. Maybe the book of Ephesians is a pretty good one. It's only like 6 chapters, so you could read it pretty easily. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 and 18. Here's what he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, again, what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Hello? Enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Man, that's another juicy tidbit, isn't it? That is some fantastic food for the soul. Hello? That's like delicious. I'm talking carne asada with some salsa. We're talking like this is some, like, oh man, I'm ready to go eat some lunch right now. Like, but this is so good. God the Holy Spirit, listen to this. God the Holy Spirit takes pleasure in lighting up your life, lighting up your soul. Did you know that about him? He takes pleasure in lighting up your soul. Let's not quench him. He looks for opportunities to ignite his word in your heart. So give God the Holy Spirit that pleasure. Give him that pleasure. Don't quench him. Don't upset him. Don't keep him at bay. Just let him just light you up. Light you up. And I'm talking, like I talked about reading Proverbs every day. Read, just get into the Word of God. Give him that pleasure every day by opening up just your Bible. Just open up the Bible and asking him to speak to you. Ask God the Holy Spirit to speak to you through his word. God, just speak to me. Give me a word. And I guarantee he's looking for those opportunities. We've got to give them to him. We've got to align ourselves. We've got to open that up for him. Amen? Come on, brothers and sisters. I know you guys know this. I preach this. We believe in this. Is getting into the word. Getting into the word. Allowing the word to get into you. We got to give him those opportunities. He's takes pleasure in it. He is delighting in just lighting you up. Man, and you can open it up, and I'm going to tell you, from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through, you're going to find some places that, like, ooh, this is going to light you up. I got some stuff in here that's way in the Old Testament that I'm going to share today. You're going to be like, wow, how did you get that out of that? God, the Holy Spirit did it, right? Ask Noel, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Leviticus. Isn't that odd? But I love it because he's like, that's my favorite book because that's where God has spoken to me. That's why it's his favorite book of the Bible. Now, it's not mine, but it's his because God has spoken to him through those words. Isn't that awesome? You're going to find yourself saying, if you aren't saying it yet, I'm just going to say, come on, let's get busy. You find yourself saying, well, that's my favorite verse now. I want to start hearing that stuff out of you. Well, here, let me show you one of my favorite verses. I want to start hearing that out of your mouth because that tells me and that tells God, it's like, I'm getting in, I'm digging it. I'm like, got to eat it up. Oh, man. Whew. Okay, let's move on because I got some good stuff. I repent of that. God has some good stuff. I'm just a mouthpiece. He's about empowering, illuminating. This is the fire of God. And this is the one where this one's going to get. I might have to slow down here and just. Okay. Purifying. God the Holy Spirit cleanses us, purifies us. See, here's. It might get gritty for a minute because I think this is where we like, ooh, I'm not sure about this part because I like all those other parts. But this is a part where he's talking about he's getting into the deep places. God, the Holy Spirit, and this phrase came about. I'm going to say it once and I'm going to reread it. It's in my notes somewhere. God, the Holy Spirit isn't afraid to get dirty. He's not afraid to get dirty to clean you up. Because see, he's got to go to some of the dirty places in your heart and your soul to clean you up. And he's not afraid to get dirty. It's like the mechanic that I don't care if I'm gonna dig myself into this motor until it's fixed. My hands come out all greasy, got oil under my nails and stuff. Robin can always tell. It's like, oh, you were working on some car today, huh? Because my fingernails. I don't know how. It doesn't matter if I'm changing a little light fixture in the tailgate. I get grease in my fingernails. I don't know what it is about it. It just finds a way to get there. He is really good at getting dirty to clean you up. In fact, I will say this. He infuses himself in every area of your life to clean it up. Blake referred to the Holy Spirit as an expert builder on Tuesday night. Building your life, building you up as an expert builder. He's also Mr. Clean. Remember that guy? Yeah, Mr. Clean. He's not afraid. Now, Mr. Clean is a clean dude. He's got the bald head and everything. But God, the Holy Spirit, if I were to picture him, if you could picture him in physical form, which we can't because he has none, it'd be like Mr. Clean. Like, man, just buff and muscular. Like, I'll get in there. Come on, let's do this. Like, I got all the weapons to clean you up. See, here's the thing is, he will not allow you. Maybe I should say it this way. A couple of different ways. He doesn't sign off on stupidity. He won't let you have a double-minded life. He does not partner with the heart of hypocrisy. And we seem to want him to. We seem to like have this inclination to say, but I want to do this, and I should be able to do that because I am me, and I am special. And they've told me that, and they're telling me that what I think and what I feel matters most. But see, he doesn't sign off on the things that are not of him. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, this is a good passage. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. I love how he says it straight up. I think the wording of it might ought to be a little bit different. If I were going to write it, said, every one of you who lacks wisdom... I don't think I'd put the if in there if I was writing it, but I haven't. But I think this is giving us an opportunity to say, here, if you are willing to admit that you need help figuring stuff out, in other words, you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who asks, one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. See, the double-minded mind lives a double-minded life, or lives a double life. Or as the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. If we have this wave going on inside of us, in other words, we're not solidly standing on truth, we will be tossed. And as we think is how we go. See, God the Holy Spirit is jealously aggressive in this matter of single-minded devotion to him. Jealously aggressive in single-minded devotion to him. God the Holy Spirit loves you and only wants what is best for you. Have you heard that before? God the Holy Spirit loves you. We know that God loves us. We say, yes, God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so, right? God the Holy Spirit loves you. God the Holy Spirit is for you. He is for you, and he's willing to get his hands dirty inside of you in the dirtiest places of your life and my life. Especially the prideful places that are locked away in the depths of your heart. You see, my sinful state is not beautiful. The world would want to tell you that. My proud heart is not pretty. The world would want to promote that. I don't measure up to God's standard. That's a truth in the Bible that the world says opposite of. I am not enough without him. Those are truths in the Bible, out of the Word of God, that the world says are opposite. The world wants to promote you as a self. The world says, stoke that fire inside of you that makes it all about you. You are just beautiful how you want to be. I love you, and you are beautiful, but you're also ugly. So am I. So am I. Without him. Please be careful not to stoke a fire in yourself and in others that are not of him. Worldly success. That's a fire that people want to stoke, man. Let's stoke that fire. Come on, we got this. Go after it. Stoke it. Be careful not to stoke a fire that's not of him. I'm not saying we should just be poor and destitute and have nothing, but just be careful what fires you stoke inside of you. See, self-love is a popular misdirection that the enemy of your soul uses to cause double-minded instability. Self-love is a popular misdirection that the enemy of your soul uses to cause double-minded instability. But you may say, but Pastor Eric, the Bible even tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. And I get disgustedly sickened I want to vomit when I hear a pastor say, so you got to learn to love yourself before you can love others. That is such a misdirection, and it's such a misconstrued interpretation of what that Bible verse says and what Jesus actually said, what Paul actually said. That's not what he said. And I know that's not very popular for me to stand up here and say that, because I know we say, because that's something that you have all heard from a good preacher on the YouTuber, right? You've all heard a preacher say that. I have a really good one too that I really, really liked and said, oh my gosh, why did you just say that? And so I've done the research and I've done this old, my own soul searching in it, because I'm like, Am I off? Am I, you know, do we really need to learn to love ourselves before we can love others? Well, let me give you the verse, actually. In Galatians, this is Paul referring to it, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Then we'll uncover it for a second. Dig it up. It says, for you are called, you, listen to this, this is a steak, man. This is good. You are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Do you hear where he's taking us? So pay attention to where he's taking us. But through love, serve one another. Do you hear what he's saying there? You heard that, right? Serve who? Each other, others, one another. Hello? Nothing in there about yourself yet. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. The entire scripture can be summed up in this one verse, he's saying. That's cool. Well, you got my attention. Really? I could read one verse in the Bible and I know it all. I don't know. That's like, that's what I hear Paul saying. And he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's so cool. That's what he said. I hear it. So before and after that one verse, he talks about freedom, a true freedom. Don't be enslaved to, again, the flesh. Now, all of us are made of flesh, correct? Right? Made of flesh. All of us have a fleshly soul. We do things in the flesh, what we want to do, right? He's referring to this very thing inside of you that does everything outside of God, leaves God outside of the picture. Don't use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Don't make it about you. Hello? Don't make it about you. Make it about him and serving others. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed like fire, by one another. Do you hear what he's saying there? See, if you say loving others as you love yourself is about serving others, not eating others. Hello? I know that sounds like really disgusting. Like, who would do that? We're not into cannibalism, and who really is? That's not what it's about. It's about digging into and feeding the flesh inside of you. Hello? So do you hear in that? Love yourself. I hear the opposite. Love others like you love yourself. In fact, the way that Jesus said it, he said, no one ever really hated himself. I know that sounds like, well, wow. I mean, can we just get really just honest for a second and really like, have you ever hated yourself? Let me ask it another way, and I'll help us to, I think, get what Jesus is saying. No one has truly ever hated himself. That's what Jesus said at one point. What he actually is saying in there is like, all right. The real reality is we all love ourselves. Now, I have, just this last week, done stuff that I'm like, I hate that I did that. That's different, isn't it? I could not like the things that I do, but honestly, I do the things that I don't like to do because I love myself a little too much. Hello? I told you he's going to get gritty. I tried to warn you, and you stayed, so this is what you get. We instinctively love ourselves, and that's what he's referring to. Love your neighbor instinctively as you instinctively love yourself. Love your neighbor with natural movement. Don't make it funky or weird or religious. Actually, genuinely love them as you actually and genuinely just love yourself. Hello? That's what he's challenging us to do. That's why he says the whole Bible is summed up in that. If you get God, if you understand God and know God instinctively and naturally, you're going to love others. Hello? That's cool stuff. That's rich and that's deep and that's real. Amen? You guys with me? Okay, let's move on because that was good. And there's other good stuff, and I got a few more minutes. So I told you I was going to talk about this thing called strange fire. And this intrigues me a lot in Scripture. There's three incidences I'm going to just share from. I'm not going to read the actual incidences. I'll give you the references, but I'm going to talk about them. Strange fire, also known in the Bible as unauthorized fire. Fire that is not of God, from God or of God. Hello? You guys interested?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Well, you're here anyway, so you might as well be interested, right? In Leviticus, right, well, it only makes sense. Like, hey, might as well pay attention. I'm here. I'm awake. Yes. I'm at church and I came. So let's talk about it. In Leviticus chapter 10, hey, Noel's favorite book. It's good stuff in there. There's this story that takes place is as Moses and Aaron, Moses commands, or God tells Moses, he says, Moses, I wanted you to do this. Take Aaron and you guys offer up a sacrifice to me. Offer up an offering to me in front of the people. And so Aaron, who is, guess who Aaron is? Anybody know who Aaron is? Who's he related to? Hey, right on, Moses' bro, man. He's like, yeah. So Moses and Aaron are brothers. He says, Aaron, tell Aaron to go down, make a sacrifice in front of the people. And so he prepares it, a big bowl, and gets it, he cuts it up, and he puts it on this altar, and boom, fire from heaven comes down and consumes the sacrifice. Whoa, power from God. And it was vindicated. It was authorized fire from God saying, now what Moses says is real, is true, and is good, and is from God. What Aaron does as the priest, he is Moses' right hand. And what I do through them, you better listen up. So the people are like, wow, this is awesome. Hello? You guys with me? This is my rendition of it. So then Aaron, this is where it gets a little sad, it's really sad, because he has two sons, Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu. And they see this, and they are inclined to do the same thing as their dad did. Well, this gets a little, because this is family stuff now. They try to do the same thing that their dad did. And they make this little altar in front of the people. But what they do, instead of waiting for God and asking God about it, see, they liked all that attention that Moses and Aaron had got. They liked the praise and the admonition and the vindication from God, the validation from God. They brought in their own fire and set it to the altar. But you know what God does next? And this is where it gets really, this is a sad part of the whole deal. Remember how he was able to bring down fire from heaven and consume that which Aaron had offered as a sacrifice? He brought down that same fire But instead of consuming the offering, he consumed the sons, Nadab and Abihu. Fried them right there on the spot in front of everybody. Toast. Wow, that's extreme, isn't it? Another incident that takes place in the Bible. This is his King David. David gets anointed as king. He's building his kingdom, he realizes this thing that is like missing in the kingdom. And it's the Ark of the Covenant. And he goes after the Ark of the Covenant and he tries to restore it and bring it back to Israel. Takes it on as a mission, a noble and a holy mission that God actually says okay to. But here's what David didn't do, he didn't ask God how to transport it. He didn't consult God how to bring it into the temple. He didn't actually, or the temple wasn't built yet, he didn't actually have God's permission and God's authorization to move it to where David wanted to move it to. But he says, well, I'm going to do the best thing. Here's what David does. I'm a brand new cart pulled by oxen. And I got two of the greatest guys, they're brothers, they're gonna bring this ark to Israel. And so the ark is moving, and it's on this cart and the ox, and as they get to this rough road, part in the road, Uzzah, I think that's a cool name, Uzzah, what's your name, Uzzah, I'm Uzzah. Anyway, he reaches out to stable the cart, and what happens is, God gets so angered by that move that he strikes him dead on the spot. Dead on the spot. You're like, wow, that's extreme. He's just trying to keep it going, trying to do the right thing. But he was doing it outside of God's direction. It was a strange fire, unauthorized fire, if you will. And of course, David gets really upset. He's like, God, why'd you do that? This is a little add-on. God, why'd you do that? That wasn't very fair. That wasn't very nice. Like, come on, we were just trying to do the right thing. And he's like, well, you didn't consult with me. Yeah. What was that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so much. Fire is referred to over 500 times in the Bible. And almost always it's referred to as a godly, holy fire. There's these incidents that I'm bringing up for a reason. So yes, that is an authorized holy fire. So many different types of fire, but that was one with the burning bush. Absolutely, it was authorized. It was so of God that it was burning and not consuming the bush. That's some really wild fire there, like, man. And I'm not talking about like a forest fire. So that's fire that doesn't consume. That's wild to me. I don't know why. Anyway, so thanks for bringing that up. And then here's this other incident real quick. This is in the New Testament. The church had just begun. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. This was right after the church had just been just exploding. The new church in the book of Acts, Peter gives this salvation message. Boom, preaches, quotes Joel, and the Spirit of God comes down on all the people. Pentecost takes place. Boom, the church is exploding by thousands on a daily basis. And people are, and here's the cool thing, and at the end of Acts chapter 4, it talks about nobody in the church was without, because people were taking their properties, their lands, and they were selling them off and giving to the people so that everybody had enough to eat. That's a cool thing that's taken place, right? It's kind of a lot of what we do here. But here's So a man named Joseph does this awesome move, just takes a piece of property that he had, one of his pieces of land, sells it, and gives the entire proceeds to Peter and the apostles. And everything. And it was a cool thing. It was a nice gesture. Everybody's like, wow, Joseph, that's so cool. Great. Good job. You know, like, hey, like we just think that's excellent. Well, these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, they see that this has taken place, and they say, well, I kind of like that. Let's do the same thing, except we'll sell the property and we'll tell them that we're giving it all like Joseph did, but we'll keep a little bit for ourselves. We won't give it all to the church. We'll just keep a little bit to ourselves. And so Ananias comes before, he's like, here's everything that we made on the property. And Peter just right then and there says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why are you doing this? Wasn't it yours to begin with? And after you sold it, wasn't everything you made on it, wasn't that yours to do as you see fit to do with? Why are you lying to God and telling us something that is not true? And he falls dead like that. Like, wow. So much so that his wife comes in and it says, actually, 3 hours later. I don't know why the Bible's so descriptive on some things like that, but 3 hours later, his wife comes in and Peter asks her the same question. Was the property you sold everything that you made on it? And did you give it? She said, oh, yeah. We were just like, we just want to be like, you know, we just want to help. And yeah, that was us. And he's like, why did you lie too? Why did you team up with your husband to do this evil thing? And she died like that too. Like, wow. Doesn't that seem extreme? But here's the thing. Is that fire, and that's a strange fire that they were trying to ignite within them. What was it promoting? Themselves. This is why I say this, and I said this very, very clearly. Please be careful what fire you stoke inside of you. Please be cautious what fire we stoke in others. Amen? And someone may ask, which is a really good question, by the way, for asking it. Like, isn't that extreme? And why doesn't God do that any longer, those kind of things? I'm going to answer it two ways. One is, we really don't know. He may be doing it. We might not hear the stories of him doing that. This is written for us. But there's also this level of extremeness, if you will, extremity in God when there is actual direct revival movement taking place. Moses and Aaron, given the Ten Commandments on the mountain, God was doing something extreme in the Israelites at that moment. This was high-level movement by God. This was world-changing movement by God. Amen? David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the Israelites' true possession was high-level movement by God. The church being birthed and ignited and growing was high-level movement by God. Amen? And to where we see the results of it today. So yes, here's what I'd like to propose.
They were setting examples of how to.
Yeah, exactly. And how to do it as God leads and how to stoke the fire of God within us. Amen? Here's what I would like to propose, and I believe this to be true, is there's at least one more high-level movement of God. There's been many great revivals in our society, in our Christendom throughout history, the last 2,000 years. But there's going to be an extreme high-level movement. Hello? I'm not saying we're on the verge of that. I think we are. But I'm thinking maybe we ought to be stoking the right fire. Maybe we ought to be aligning ourselves in exactly where God wants us to be. Maybe I shouldn't say maybe. 100%, we need to be about the holy fire of God. And I know that's like, well, gosh, how do I figure it out? Oh, man, just make it about Jesus. Come on. It's really quite simple. So much so that this is the last passage of scriptures. And it's a lengthy one, but it's a good, it's like, I want us to see this. In Exodus chapter 12, this is fantastic. I mean, I hadn't seen this before until the Lord really showed it to me. And I was just reading something and it kind of was just, it wasn't even referred to, so this was straight from the Holy Spirit. Exodus chapter 12 says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt." This was, let me give you just a real quick backstory to what's taking place here. This is where God called Moses to bring his people out of the bondage of the Egyptians. And this was the last move that God was making to set his people free. Excuse me, let me lube up before we get going in this. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month," listen to this, "this month shall be you the beginning of months." That's so cool. I don't know why I think that's so cool. Like, history is about to change. History is about to change. "It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb." Listen, listen closely. Listen good. Listen real. This is great. This is the gospel. Every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Do you hear what he's saying here? Oh man, come on. Here's what I hear in this. Here's what I hear in this. And I'm just going to go back to it. So don't leave me. Don't leave me. "For God so loved the world." Every single one. And if you feel like you don't have enough, God has plenty. If you feel like you don't fit in, if you feel like you don't matter, God, to God you do. So much so that if you're a small person, you're not small to me. You matter. In fact, I'm making provision for you to enter in. I'm making provision. Your neighbor will have plenty. Come on, brothers and sisters. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you hear all of this? The gospel is like right here in this one chapter. In the Old Testament, it's so rich. Oh, this is good. Oh, man, okay. I got to go back. And the household, I already read that part. Your lamb, this is where he goes on to say, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. And when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." Do you hear what he said there? Like, there was specific direction when the lamb was to be slain at twilight. "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Put it on the doorposts, enter the house, and eat the lamb. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire." Roasted on the fire. This is where the Holy Spirit, it just like, whoo! "With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, even its head with its legs and its inner parts." Ew, but okay. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. And then listen to this. Listen to this. This is rich, man. Listen to this. "Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn." How do you burn anything? With fire. Do you hear what he said? Oh, okay, I'm going to finish this up, and there's this one little thing I want to share. "And in this manner, you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste." I'm talking about, this ain't no like relaxing barbecue on a Cinco de Mayo Sunday afternoon. Sounds like a good idea. It's like we're talking, we're eating, and we're ready to go. I mean, I'm in position, and I'm eating. I don't know. I could eat like that. and you shall eat it in haste. And it is, listen to this verse. It is the Lord's Passover. Hello? It's not the people's Passover. It's not the Israelites' Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The best verse in the Bible right here. The best verse, the most impactful verse of the Bible is right here. The blood shall be a sign for you. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you with no plague, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Wow. We must see that he is pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God, his Passover lamb that is provided by God for our salvation. Holy Spirit fire is required for us to consume all that is Jesus. Holy Spirit fire is required for us to consume all that is Jesus. You hear that? You didn't find Jesus. He made himself known to you by the Spirit of God. You agreed by that same power of the Holy Spirit gave you the ability, the sound mind to say yes. Holy Spirit fire is required for us to consume all that is Jesus. But listen to this too. Holy Spirit fire is required to consume all that is not Jesus. Because that's what took place there in Exodus. They roasted the lamb to eat the lamb. Jesus said, if you are to be my followers, you are to what? Eat my flesh. They roasted the lamb to eat the lamb. And then they said that anything that was unedible, that didn't, you had to burn it up. Anything that is not of Jesus, we must allow the Holy Spirit's fire to consume. That's the stuff in our life that's dirty, that's messy, and he's willing to get his hands dirty. That's the stuff in my life that I didn't realize existed last week. And God showed me by his grace and his mercy that there was stuff in my life that didn't belong. That's the stuff in my life that I've been hiding in a place that I didn't realize was a hiding place. I thought it was a safe place. I thought it was a place that maybe my pride was like, hey, I'm good. God was saying, no, you're not. You're not even close to being good. In fact, you're pretty darn bad. Like, wait, what? But I'm a pastor. I should be good. Yeah, you should, but you're not. And let's continue to move forward. Continue to allow me to have that place, that dark place, that secret place, that place that you didn't even realize was a place that you were protecting and not letting me go to. But I want to go there, and I'm willing to get my hands dirty because I love you. That's the Holy Spirit's fire that's burning up the stuff that's not of Jesus. So when we sing that fantastic and amazing song, thank you, Noel, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Just a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh in yours, that I may be made into your image. I know I skipped a couple verses, but that's okay. That's the Spirit of God moving and working in us and through us. And anytime we make it about
just even the stuff that's not of Jesus. Here's what's so gloriously great about our graceful God. Even in that, he's patient. Even when we make it about stuff that we're not supposed to make it about, his mercy and his grace steps in and says, let me show you, son. Let me show you, daughter, what it really needs to be about. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love for us, your mercy upon us that's fresh and new every single morning. Your grace that is completely sufficient. We are so grateful for the Lamb of God who was slain in my place. And not only that, but you make provision for every single whosoever soul on the planet to say, if you don't have, your neighbor does. And I've commissioned my people to love their neighbor as themselves. So that is our call. That is our war cry, to love our neighbor as ourself. And allow the Holy Spirit's fire to burn and ignite and just move within us and consume all that is not supposed to be there and give us the roasting taste of our Jesus. Oh, that's good meat. Jesus is good meat. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.